Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, here we are. We're almost at the playoffs. There's three games left.
Yep.
And it's almost time for our favorite time of year.
The best time of year.
The time we've all been waiting for 6 months. When the season really matters. When the Panthers just go away. When it's all on the line, where men become heroes.
That's right.
In playoff hockey, dude.
That's right. It's almost here, dude. And the Sharks are staggering into the playoffs. How would you characterize this last little stretch here? Tripping? Stumbling?
No,
bumbling?
I wouldn't say that they're staggering, but I wouldn't applaud their efforts over the last 8 games or even 10. If you go back, I mean, we're going stretching all the way back to the Tuesday, March 18th game against Florida, which kind of stopped that great win streak that would include that East Coast trip. They come home and predictably lose that game to Florida. And we're seeing when they played so well, we were lauding the efforts of James Shepherd and guys like that for being extremely productive on the third line. And the well seems to have dried up a little bit, dude.
Yeah.
The magic.
More than a little.
Fountain of youth on some of those guys, or just the luck, I guess, of their productivity has dried up a little. And the Sharks were sent into scramble mode on Saturday, which we haven't seen much lately, where basically every line was thrown in the hopper except the top line. And they're like, let's see what happens. And you two guys, you're sitting out the whole third period. It was like playoff hockey.
Yeah.
You predictably, there's Mike Brown sitting on his butt.
Well,
I know, but previously they were kind of rolling four lines, you know, when things were going well, and now a little bit of scrambleization, dude. What are your thoughts? I mean, Saturday was a low point, right? A very low point.
Yeah. I mean, certainly getting shut out at home against Nashville, a team that isn't even close to the playoffs. If you look at who the Sharks have lost to in this stretch, it's basically, with the exception of Colorado, it's been all non-playoff teams. Florida, Calgary, Washington, Winnipeg, Colorado, like I said, and now Nashville.
But this has been a trend. I mean, if you look at Anaheim, they've been doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they've lost to almost exactly all those same teams. And actually, Edmonton's kind of had their number.
Yeah.
So, fortunately for the Sharks, the Ducks have not run away with this thing. I mean, they're 3 points up now, but with a win tomorrow night in Anaheim, it's not over, dude. It's not over.
No.
They could still get that top seed, which is so important. I mean, I hope that they recognize how important that is. I mean, last year when we talked to Dan Boyle, it was like, he didn't even know what place they were in, right? I mean, remember he was like, it's going to be hard. I think he said something like, it's going to be hard no matter what
right. When
you get there. But the difference between playing LA and Minnesota is it's not close.
No. Although LA is managing to lose games too.
They're going to be a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
In the playoffs.
And I mean, you can take last Thursday's game as Exhibit A. That was a playoff game. For all intents and purposes.
The road's going to go through LA regardless. I believe that. If they get the Ducks first, they beat the Ducks. If they get us first, then we got to go through them first.
Mm-hmm.
The road out of the Pacific is going to go through LA, not Anaheim.
Okay.
That's just how I feel. I just think when you get into a 7-game series, the Ducks aren't going to be equipped enough to handle a team that's been there successfully for 2 straight years, you know, and made it to win the cup or to the conference finals, you know?
But this is the Kings' problem, is exactly what happened against the Sharks, which is they win all these games 2-1, or they lose games 2-1 because they can't friggin' score.
Right.
Like, you look at all these games, last two games, they lost to Vancouver 2-1, us 2-1. They managed to score 4 against Phoenix, but they're not scoring a lot of goals here.
Not in the last 4 games, but for a team like that, they had a big
winning streak, scoring 2 and 3 goals every night.
A team like that, I kind of throw it out the window when it gets to... I mean, don't you think in some cases, teams like the Kings and even the Blackhawks, which it's a little bit of a different situation because of their injury problems. I mean, do the Blackhawks really care if they're home ice against Colorado? I don't think they care. I mean, like, I think obviously they don't care enough to play Kane and Taze through some injury problems. They said, screw it, we're going to rest them and we'll have these guys healthy and we don't care where we play. We'll beat you. And we don't care if you own the season series against us. We're going to beat you. And I feel like the Kings kind of have that same attitude. You know,
mm-hmm.
I do think we take them in a playoff series. I do, since we have home ice, but Ducks Kings, that'd be a really rough series on those guys. And this is a long way of me saying, I really hope the Sharks find a way to win out.
Right. If they win out, then they've got a good shot. Give themselves the
best.
They've
got a real good
chance.
Shot. And I think the difference would be huge for them in terms of getting an easier matchup up front.
So you're not worried at all by the fact that the Sharks have managed to lose these games to teams that frankly kind of suck.
I know. That's what I was looking at before we started. I'm not really that worried. The Sharks backslid into the playoffs last year and swept Vancouver.
Yeah.
And played outstanding against the Kings. I mean, that was a good series.
Yeah.
That they barely lost, and I think we agree that if they had Torres, I think they win that series.
If they had Torres and home ice in game 7.
They win that series. They win. So yeah. I think it's got to be hard for the guys down the stretch here. Especially if they... I'm going to be concerned if they lose in Anaheim on Wednesday, then I'm concerned they'll lose the next two. Just because it might be difficult for them to get up for it when they don't really have anything left to play for.
Right.
And maybe the Sharks should rest some guys in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody that's banged up.
You know, that we may not see Couture. We may not see... Jumbo might get a game off. I mean, like... And I don't think that's so bad.
No, it's not.
You know, if that's the situation, then you just kind of go, well, okay. Like... But I hope they are going to play to win, because I do think the difference is huge. Huge between Minnesota and LA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, they don't really have... I mean, they even really have a shot against anybody. I mean, they're going to be a huge underdog against whoever they face in the first round.
Yeah, I would equate that to playing Phoenix those couple of years, or Nashville those couple of years that we played them.
Right.
I mean, no playoff series is going to be a cakewalk. I don't think they're going to be pushovers, but I do think it would be a big difference as you watch the Ducks and Kings go 7.
Yeah.
And the Sharks might not have to play that much. So anyways, dude. Maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, and maybe we're treating it just like the Sharks.
Yeah.
They're looking ahead. We're looking ahead. I see you looking at some stats right now, dude. What kind of catches your eyes?
Well, I wanted to see Boyle's stats because he's been kind of playing a lot better lately.
He certainly has.
At least on the stat sheet.
Yeah. You
know, he's been scoring a lot more, which is really good to see. It seems like he is sort of coming in, playing the right kind of hockey at the right time. And you know, it's impossible to say if he's 100% after his injury earlier in the year, but you see some of that confidence. There was that one goal, I'm trying to remember who it was again. I think it was Edmonton, where they pass the puck, and he holds the puck for, it seems like, 2 or 3 seconds, and he's, like, in the circle.
Yeah.
In the circle, just holding it, and then, bam, snipe, top corner, and it's just like, yeah, that's what I score.
Last 10 games, I think he's shown how valuable he is.
Right.
You know? And for a guy coming off a pretty serious injury, a head injury that caused him so many problems that we've all talked about off ice, for him to kind of get the good times rolling again, that's huge for a guy like that.
Yeah, he's not going to go quietly into, I got a head injury, I'm just going to sort of fade away.
Right.
He's not the kind of player who's ever faded away.
I think the thing that is concerning to me are two things. One, the lack of productivity from that third line is you know, we've talked about that over and over again. And I get worried that, you know, McClellan's going to move down Pavelski again. Mm-hmm. You know, I can kind of see that coming,
mm-hmm.
you know. Oh, well, we'll just move Pavs down.
Right. And then he goes cold.
And then he goes cold because he's playing with cold guys. And, you know, he's really thrived being a finisher.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's got 37 assists, which is, you know, what, third on the team. You know, I mean, that's good. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not good. It's outstanding. I mean, he's had an amazing year.
He's had an awesome year.
Amazing, amazing year.
Good for second on the team. Just behind Jumbo.
I do kind of feel like that's coming down the pike a little bit here if these guys go cold. Now, the return of Torres possibly tomorrow night changes everything again.
Yes.
If he's healthy.
I mean, let's just do full-on pulling answers or ideas out of our ass here with Torres. Did they rush him back too soon, or did he come back and then sort of re-injure it again a little bit and something happened that he said, oh, oops, I guess I got to sit again? Which do you think happened?
It's hard because you look at, you know, his productivity, 5 points in five games. I mean,
yeah.
It sure seems in 10 minutes a game.
I know.
Sure doesn't seem like he wasn't physically able to play, and he even was dishing out some hits. I don't think they brought him back too soon. I think maybe he might have re-injured himself.
Yeah.
And on the second go round, they went, let's wait a little bit here, you know?
Right.
Because this is the time. I mean, this is the time where they really need him. I mean, they really need him now, like in the next 2 months.
Right.
We were able to get by this long. They are where they are. Now you're adding such a valuable weapon. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure he's healthy.
Yeah. He's by far the most important piece that's a question mark.
Right. Well, I mean, we keep hearing about Tomáš Hertl skating. And dude, I know you're shaking your head.
No.
But I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised, dude, if they get to the third round, if we see him.
I'd be more than surprised. I'd be outright shocked if he plays this year.
Hmm.
Full on shocked.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up, and certainly we have any sort of information. We're just in full-blown speculation mode. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's wearing the contact jersey now. I mean, I know there probably is zero contact, but he's out there. He's practicing. I feel like in another month, I mean, it's not impossible that he joins them at a certain point. I don't think they should be counting on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody should be counting on it, but not impossible, dude. But guys like Tyler Kennedy, Shepard, Wingles, who's kind of disappeared a little bit in the last, you know, 10 games,
mm-hmm.
they need to wake up a little bit here and give the Sharks. I mean, Desjardins got benched against Nashville, which is not a team that he should be benched against. Like, if he's doing his thing, right?
That's
exactly
the
type of team
that
you want him out there. I mean, if they're going to beat the Kings, they need Desi to play well.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he has to match up against all different kinds of players.
Yeah. I mean,
because they're going to be rolling all their lines.
Sure.
For sure.
And the Sharks will be vulnerable if they can't roll four. And that will be concerning. The other thing that's been a little bit bothersome is some of these really bad goals that Niemi's letting in.
Oh, yeah.
It's concerning.
Yeah. Oh, sure. It makes me kind of wonder in some cases why he's still playing. Like, I do wonder, like, I thought he probably should have been pulled against Nashville.
No, dude, they've hitched the cart, you know, the cart is hitched, and they're not going to turn to Stalock unless Niemi is so bad early in a series. They're not going to do it. I think McClellan is more loyal to his guys than that. I mean, to pull a total Randy Carlyle and just, you know, pick a name out of a hat, basically.
Right.
Every night. Dude, we have emails?
Let me check. I know our schedule has been a little weird lately, so I'm not sure if people are sending in emails as much. Let me do a quick check here. No, I don't think so. Did we talk about contracts?
No.
Okay.
I don't think we've talked about any of this.
So, Matt says, I know it's early, but it's near the end of the season. Let's talk contracts. What's the actual percent chance that Sharks buyout Havlat? Let's start with that. I have it near 100%, not counting injuries. What is the chance that they ditch Havlat?
99%.
I'll take the over on that.
I just can't imagine that he's back. I think the only thing that gives me the 1% is that Doug Wilson has been so hesitant to admit his errors that he may, just out of pure stubbornness, try to make it work again. But I just can't see it. Unless Havlat has some sort of monster playoffs.
Right.
Monster.
Yeah. Right.
Then can you imagine he scores the winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals?
And they're like, you're bought out.
I'd still buy his ass out if that happened.
You would.
Yeah. It's pretty close to 100%, right?
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
That's $5 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. The Sharks have some players they need to re-sign. They're going to have to deal with Demers. You know, they're going to have to deal with. Well,
that question's coming up, dude.
Make a call on Dan Boyle, you know?
Only reason they don't buy him out is if they find a way to trade him. That's the way I feel. Okay, funny. Tommy Wingles. He's restricted. Career high in goals. What does he get? Rafi Torres is getting $2 million. Burrish, admittedly, is a bad contract. He's getting $1.8 million. You have to think his agent wants that sort of money. So what are we looking at for Wingles, dude? RFA. What are they going to offer him?
Gosh. I mean, he doesn't get more than Torres. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think that maybe he gets 1.5.
Right.
You know,
that's,
I mean, I wouldn't
I
be
have.
Surprised if he got something similar to what the Sharks did with Demers, Justin Braun. I mean, you look at Justin Braun, got a couple years at 1.25. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 years at two years, $3 million, you know, something like that. That doesn't lock Wingles into a certain pay bracket. But I mean, he hasn't shown the consistency yet to deserve
a 4-year deal.
And no. I mean, no. Because he could be irrelevant as easily as he could be valuable.
That's true. Okay. So Demers, dude. You said Demers. What about Demers?
Demers is the guy that...
He's the big question.
Yeah. Right? And I think he's the guy that I wouldn't be surprised if they did 3 years. Because let's say he repeats his performance again and they just do another 1-year deal with him.
Yeah.
Then they're in trouble. Because then, let's say Demers is a 40-point guy again next year.
Then
right?
Someone's
going to give him $4 or $5 million.
That's
and
right.
And then you're in trouble. So I think Demers is a, I mean, if you make him like a 3-year, $7 million.
Yeah, I was thinking like 3, 7.5, 3 for 8.
I think that's palatable. And, I mean, he seems to have grown up. I mean, he seems to have just figured it out. He's such an important part of what the Sharks do, and he's insurance on if we lose DB22.
That's right.
They cannot lose them both. I mean, like, that is crippling. Right. So,
okay, does Boyle walk? Assuming DW offers him something, what's your number? You have to think he's played himself out of a 2-year deal. He may have played... Well, here's the really uncomfortable thing for me, being a huge DB22 fan, and I can't be as harsh as, say, like Andy Bench is on Twitter about Boyle and how he's terrible and this kind of stuff. I want to see the best in this guy. This guy's been a gamer his whole career. He's an awesome player.
You can't say he's terrible. Like, that's...
Well, I mean
he
said he's been terrible in stretches. Not that he is now a, quote, terrible player. But,
yeah. Well,
you know, Boyle has...
If you want to see terrible, you know, go watch some Edmonton Oilers games.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
that's some terrible defense.
He's not terrible. If the Oilers or some other Yahoo team would give him 3 years, $15 million, which they will,
right?
That's not a terrible player. So that should just stop.
Right. So he may have played himself out of a 2-year deal with the Sharks. The big question is, would he take a 1-year deal with the Sharks? Because I sort of agree with you, Matt, in that I think that's probably what the Sharks will offer. I guess if he shows and proves that he is in very good shape and has a great playoffs, I think a 2-year deal is not out of the question, but that's just a feeling. You know, to me, the reason why he hasn't resigned is because there was all these questions about this injury. If he can really prove to everyone and the top brass that, hey, I'm back. Find another 37-year-old defenseman in the league that can do what I do, and then we can talk. I mean, would you take Markov over? Would you take Markov over?
No, I think there's as many injury concerns about. I mean, Markov's knee could go south at any point. Sergei Gonchar's knee could blow out at any point.
Right.
I mean, these guys, that's the comparables, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the comparable, and I would think on the market that Markov, if Montreal lets him go, which I think is doubtful. You know, unless they're looking to replace him with Boyle, which actually, you know, for Boyle. Maybe doesn't, I mean, if he wants to kind of go
closer to home.
I mean, it depends on what Dan wants, right?
Right.
Does he want to stay here and win consistently, mm-hmm.
right?
Or does he want to go to Ottawa, go back home,
right?
Right. And do whatever it is. I mean, who knows what direction they're headed in? That's a huge question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, there's a number of different ways. One, you're right, is if, you know, from a family perspective, he could stay here. Maybe from a homecoming perspective, he could go back to Quebec and go to Montreal or Ottawa. There's also, you know, if he just wants to make some more money, I'm sure there's a team that doesn't have any cap problems that is willing to give him $5 million a year for a few years, a couple years, 3 years. If you want to make another $15 million, that's one way to do it. Or the fourth thing is you could do the cup chasing and you could go catch on with Boston the way Jerome McGinley did, or catch on with another team. Although, you know, the number of teams that are going to obviously have a better chance than the Sharks are not many, right? I mean, okay, yeah, you go with the Blues, but, you know, or you go with Chicago or you go with Boston, and that's sort of where the list ends in terms of teams that probably will have a much better chance than the Sharks to win.
I think the thing that is not in the Sharks' favor is the contract that Gonchar got from Dallas was 2-year, $10 million. Mm-hmm. And he got that coming off a 27-point year in 45 games. So if you know, I mean,
that's not the lockout year, right?
That is the lockout year. Yeah. So, you know, that's
So that's like a
50-point season. So I guess that's more productive than Boyle. If you were going to, you know, if Boyle had played all the games, you know, maybe he'd be at 38 points. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, behind Gonchar, but still, I guess that's the bar. So, I mean, at 2 years, $8 million, if I'm the Sharks, I do it. But I could understand if they didn't. I mean, I could,
but
the biggest problem is, dude, what do you do with that spot? Like, then that's a huge gaping, suck hole.
I know
that I'm not ready to say welcome Matt Tennyson to take this spot when he's played.
Yeah.
A couple NHL games.
He didn't play a single game this year.
That doesn't make me comfortable. I'm not ready to throw Mirko Mueller into that spot. I don't think that's fair.
Well, I guess you throw Demers into that spot and then you backfill with the other guys.
Then what do you do with the $10 million that you've saved from Havlat and Boyle being off the team?
You find a way to give it to Adam Burrish. I don't know.
The answer is going to be this. It depends on how the team does, seriously, in the next 2 months. If they do well, and if they do well and they make a pretty decent run again, then he stays. If they're out in the first round, he's gone. And then I think that that's the answer, that they'll find some other way to make their tweaks on the fly. I'm holding out hope, dude, that he's not gone. Because I kind of see him as a Ricci, a Marchment, like a lifer. Like, this guy could be a Sharks. He could be, I don't know what he wants to do with his life. You know, he could be a coach. He could be a GM.
Yeah.
I mean, he just seems like that kind of guy. And I hope it's in Teal or I'm sorry, in black, since I guess that seems to be what we're wearing these days.
We're wearing the black for the whole playoffs again?
That's what I read.
Man. I thought the whole reason they went with the black is because it was a quote-unquote lighter jersey.
Team black.
And, but then,
instead of team teal.
And then, but then they changed the teal jersey to get rid of the extra piping at the bottom and the stripe at the bottom to make it the same weight. So they don't have that excuse anymore. Ah.
Not my favorite.
That bugs. It's teal is the color of the Sharks.
I know, dude.
It's
I know.
The color of
I agree.
The Sharks.
I agree, dude.
All right, dude. I want to go over our preseason picks.
Okay.
Our pool picks.
Yes.
Just, you know, because we can review. I mean, I guess we could do this next week, but I mean, most of the playoff teams.
It's
we
close.
Know,
I mean, there's a few close ones, but okay, we'll take a look.
Do you want to do this next week, dude?
No, we'll do
I
it
mean,
now.
I mean, New Jersey's pretty much out at this point. So the East is pretty well set. The West, I guess Phoenix technically has a shot
to make the
West.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my picks. Obviously, I have some really bad ones, as I do every year. Picking Vancouver, that was stupid, early.
Wait, you took them... Where did you take them?
I took them like in way too early.
Way too early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's look at the playoff teams. Okay. Boston. That's mine.
Yep.
Montreal. Also mine.
Yep.
Tampa Bay. That's you.
That's my value pick. I got that 23rd overall. Yeah. 22nd overall.
Pittsburgh. That's you.
That's me.
Rangers.
That's me.
I've got the Flyers.
Right.
That's a must-watch series, right? Flyers, Rangers.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't miss a single moment of that, right?
Yeah. Detroit is you.
Detroit is me, and actually...
And Columbus is you, too.
I kind of like the Detroit-Pittsburgh matchup, and
I think
you should be a little nervous about that.
I'm more than a little nervous.
Your boys could be out... Can you imagine if they're out again early? Bylsma head on a staff, like out in front of the, like he's fired so fast if they're out early.
There's a friend of mine who lives in Canada, and we actually made a bet on the first round. He says Pittsburgh will lose to Columbus.
Ooh, no.
And I said, no chance. He's like, they will lose.
No.
I have to send him 5 Canadian loonies if they do. And I said, okay, but I'm not happy about Detroit, but they're going to be Columbus. Come on. They're going to be Columbus.
Looking at this, I mean, and you know, maybe we're getting a little ahead, but I think the team that comes out of the Atlantic is the team that will win.
Well, Boston's clearly the best. Clearly.
Montreal and Boston in a second round series, that's not going to be easy for the way Montreal's playing. But Montreal, you look, dude, they're 8 out of their last 10 they've won. Since they got Vonek, they've been way better.
Mm-hmm.
And Carey Price, we've seen... can just flat out steal it and as much as Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
So I don't think Montreal over Boston is outrageous.
I think Tampa Bay could beat Montreal.
Yeah. Nah.
I think it could happen. Bishop might
Ben Bishop's played like 90 games this year.
He might win the Vezina. We've seen hot goalies Craig Anderson come out of nowhere.
No, dude. No.
Could happen. All right, dude. I have St. Louis.
Yeah.
Who has Colorado?
You do.
I have Colorado. Wow. That's even later than... That's like almost the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, that was a great pick.
So I have St. Louis and Colorado. You, of course, have Chicago and L.A.
And
I
have the Ducks.
I have the Ducks.
You have Minnesota.
Yeah.
And you have Dallas.
I'm so excited about those picks, you know.
I have Phoenix. So that's kind of the last like battle here is between Phoenix and Dallas for us to have an extra team that has the right to lose to St. Louis in the first round.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, look at, you know, Chicago is really the wild card here in terms of when Taze and King come back. Are they really healthy or is there a problem there? I mean, that's a team that, you know, I have a hard time getting behind Colorado and just believing that they're going to win a playoff series against the Blackhawks. But we've seen teams like that just like the Edmonton Oilers when they just ran their way through the whole playoffs because they just didn't know any better.
They're just playing with house money, right?
Now, but no Matt Duchene. I mean, that's really going to hurt them.
That's a killer.
Listening to Scotty Bowman in an interview this week, I mean, he talked a lot about how teams in the playoffs win because of their defense, and he was saying he thought Colorado had one of the worst of the playoff teams, and I think he's right, you know. And
well, they have given up the most goals of any playoff team except for Dallas or Phoenix, if either one of them would make it, which, and they're the last seed.
So it was interesting for the special advisor of the team who they're going to be playing in the first round to basically come out and say that Colorado's got Jack defense.
Well, of course he's going to say
they've
got
Eric Johnson and a bunch of guys I don't know. Say, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, they're basically reliant on Varlamov. And,
yeah.
I mean, against Chicago, I don't think that might get you two wins, but that doesn't get you four. Unless the boys on Chicago are not healthy, you know?
Right.
So, looking at this, dude, is the door more open this year than it has been in previous years for the Sharks? I mean, is if they can get it together, is it more open than it's been because of some of the questions on some of these teams?
You want the truth?
Yes, I want the truth, dude.
No, the door is not more open. Because I think the Sharks having to play LA is a really tough start, assuming that they are going to play LA. And St. Louis is a team that we've talked about many times. They don't match up well against St. Louis. The Sharks have had regular season success against St. Louis, but I don't think that matters one bit. St. Louis is the team that got the very best at the trade deadline, better than any other team. This team has scored 245 goals and only given up 177. That's crazy. Chicago has scored slightly more goals, but they've given up 30 more than St. Louis.
Right.
St. Louis is scoring at a very healthy clip. They've scored more than anybody in the East except for Boston, and they've given up fewer goals than anybody else in the West right now, except for LA, because LA can't give up any goals or they lose. So, I mean, this is a team that is peaking. They have the right players to go the whole way. If St. Louis didn't make those moves at the deadline and it was just sort of like St. Louis, even with Colorado, even with Chicago, and there was like a three-way, like, super fight to the finish, then maybe the Sharks would have a better shot. But I just don't like that Western Conference final. And obviously, that's not even to say Boston, who is pretty close to the Cup favorite as well. I mean, I know maybe the Vegas has St. Louis, but Boston's just rolling people right now.
Yeah, I think from the East, and I'm not I think the Rangers could be very dangerous, you know, if they get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Their D with Lundqvist, you know.
That's right.
I have a hard time believing it's going to be Chicago and Boston again. Like, there's usually some other team that comes in and gets hot and gets passive. Maybe it's St. Louis, you know, maybe it's us, you know, and maybe it's a team like the Rangers, you know. But the playoffs this year seem to be more exciting than they have been in years past because of these first round matchups. If you looked at, like,
well, because they're all interdivision,
right? And if it wasn't like this, let's take a look at what would it be if it was not interdivision. So St. Louis would play Dallas,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Anaheim would play Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have Colorado versus the Kings, and then the Sharks hosting Chicago. That would be the first round matchups.
Right.
All right. So it stinks either way.
Yeah.
But it is better. You know what I mean?
You'd rather play Chicago in the first round?
No, no, no. It is better.
Oh.
That, and you know what? Yes, I would, actually. Because,
are you out of your
goddamn
mind?
Yes, I would. Because, well, they have their two best players. They're out. We don't know what they're going to be like.
They're the champions, dude.
They might be terrible. Those two guys might be playing on one arm and one leg.
Chicago's never terrible. They haven't been terrible in years.
Oh, they're... I don't know, dude. It's going to be hard no matter what.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard no matter what, dude.
So Sharks have to win out in order to have a chance number one seed in the Pacific.
Yeah, and I hope they can do it, dude. I hope they can do it. So we'll break down the playoffs next week.
Yeah.
We got kind of some funky schedules going on. Mike's taking a big trip coming up and right in the middle of the playoffs. Right. I'm in a show. This is weird, you know, life happens.
And so, we'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah, we'll be back before the playoffs for a playoff preview, dude. It's good to see you.
Talk to you then.
Bye.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.